Hallelujah. Put your hands together for Jesus. You will call your own name. You will shout, Moses, Alu, there shall be restoration. See, this ministry is a ministry of restoration. If you come here, you must be restored. Your spiritual life will be restored. Financial life will be restored. Your health will be restored. Every aspect of your life shall be restored. Moses, all of there shall be restoration. Say it a minute, too. Because that is prophecy. Now you are the one now prophesying to yourself. Call your name and shout it very loud. There shall be restoration. Say it 4 times. Shall we go? Thank you. Sit down like the restored. Praise the Lord. Church, you are not a Christian until you have received the Spirit of Christ. On Sunday, I preached a message. What is the title of the message? If you were here last Sunday. I received calls from all over the world. They were connecting to the broadcast. Salvation by assumption. That's the title. Salvation by assumption. There, I try to let you know that some people are receiving salvation by assumption, and it is dangerous. You are not to assume that you are saved. You have to confirm that you are saved. Don't assume that you are saved, because salvation is about life and death. You don't joke with something that can take your life. And that's why we try to teach the people, because the denominational world, especially the Pentecostal denomination, have misrepresented the topic, of the Holy Ghost. And people will teach you that to receive the Holy Ghost, evidence of the Holy Ghost is to speak in tongue. And then they teach the people how to speak in tongue. And then they tell you for salvation, just say after me. When you can say, I believe in my heart and confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ resurrected and God resurrected him, and in Romans chapter 10. And quote others, say after me, you say after the pastor, then the pastor pronounces you born again. Then you leave church that day. The pastor say, I am born again. Now I am born again. Look for a good church and attend. Then you start going for beginner's class. Then you are confirmed in the church. Then you go for water baptismal school. If you pass, they baptize you. If you fail, you repeat. Then you look for a department in the church and serve. And make sure you pray in tongues. Once you speak in tongues, you see, you are saved. Church, you are not saved. Anything like that. Amen. Nothing like that. That is why we shall spend this period trying to teach you to see the need to confirm. And it's not somebody that will tell you, you are born again. You will know. You will know that you are born again. It's a definite thing. Definite. Praise the Lord. It's a definite action. Like the day the woman will know when she delivered her child. That period, that is how everyone knows when you are born again. And that is why Christ, the hope for the rapture, is Colossians chapter 1 verse 27. Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't talk of going in the rapture until you have received the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit is Christ in a man. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and verse 2. Can we read it? I want to prophesy to somebody now. Behold, all of you, that you have been going to mountains. You have been going from prayer house to prayer house. You have been doing vigil, dry fasting, move up and down everywhere. Your condition has not changed. Does it mean God does not hear your prayer? We serve a God that answers prayer. He said, if you ask me to do anything, I will do it. Then why are you asking and God is not doing your own? This is the reason. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. This is the reason. But your iniquities, stubbornness, have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. I told you, I say my prophecy now to you, not be to your stepmother. The reason is because even that which cannot have power over you if your ways are right with God. Because the Bible says if a man's way pleases the Lord, he maketh him to be at peace even with his enemies. You see? Deliverance does not come by fasting, by any vigil. Deliverance comes if you are connected with God. Because God cannot fight for you when he's fighting with you. You see? And you say, I am born again. Amen. I am a Christian. Acts chapter 19. Can we read it? Verse 1. 2, 3, 4. Acts chapter 19. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper course, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? That's the question I'm asking you. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And verse 3, and Paul said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Unto what were you baptized? Praise the Lord. You are coming here for the first time. Can I see your hand up? Just wave your hand up. Oh, glory. You are believers. Can you stand up? God bless you. So many of you. God bless you, sir. If you are sitting near them and you have the Holy Ghost, can you shake them? Shake them and welcome them. If you don't have Holy Ghost, sit down. Sister, stand up now. If you are coming for the first time, please stand up. Thank you. Just 2 minutes. Stand up. Shake them now. Shake them. If you don't have Holy Ghost, don't touch anybody. Thank you. Praise the Lord. You have Holy Ghost, sir? How do you know you have Holy Ghost? I'm a minister. Oh, yes. Is it every minister that has Holy Ghost? Is that the reason you believe you have the Holy Ghost?
I have the manifestation in my life.
You have the manifestation. What is the manifestation?
Well, when I have the gift of divine healing.
You have the gift of divine healing. Mm. Have you ever seen this scripture in Psalm 68? Sit down, please. Psalm 68, verse 18. Open it in your Bible. Verse 18. You can look at it on the screen.
Thou hast ascended on high. Uh-huh. Thou hast led captive captives. Thou hast received gift for men, yea, for the liberious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them.
I don't know if you catch what that scripture is saying. It said, thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captives. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 4 so that you can understand this verse. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 10. Okay, verse 10. You see? You know that scripture said, thou hast ascended on high. Now, here you see, Ephesians chapter 4. It says, he that descended
is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things.
Verse 11.
And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and teachers.
Now, go to Psalm 68 again now. Verse 18. Psalm 68 and verse 18. Now we read it again. We read it from the screen. Thou hast ascended on high. Now listen to my reading.
Okay.
I want to read it. Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts for men. That gift is what Apostle Paul said, some apostle, some prophet, some evangelist, some pastor, some teacher. And he said, thou hast received gifts for men. Yea, for the rebellious also. Even those who are rebellious, unconverted, he gave them that gift also. Therefore, your gift is not evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Who get Holy Ghost again? Sit down, sir. You have Holy Ghost? Let me hear you. How do you know you have the Holy Ghost, sir?
Praise the Lord. The things I used to do, I do them no more. Like the bad attitude. Like before, I used to fight. Before, I don't believe the thoughts about Jesus.
Can I ask you, sir? If you fight, somebody can't die as you hit them. They can't keep you for detention, charge you for murder. By the grace of God, they can't release you after so many years in prison. Will you fight again? Will you fight again?
Sure.
Eh?
Sure.
So not the Holy Ghost, the main person, stop batting. So you won't say it's because of Holy Ghost you stop fighting. Because I don't fight again. If you be fornicator, you manage escape from gonorrhea. If you see woman, you not go there careful. So I don't fornicate again. You be smoker. Then they can't show you x-ray. Say that cough where you get na cigar cause harm. You go still smoke again. You get kidney problem. They can't tell you, say, na beer where you drink. You go drink the beer again. Therefore, that you stop doing bad things is not also evidence that you have the Holy Ghost. Hey, let this man they talk. Okay, what will be the evidence? I don't answer. I don't hear you now. Okay, what do you want to say again? You're a minister of God.
The evidence is believing the word of God from Genesis to Revelation.
Thank you. Do you know the Bible says that you believe in one God? James says so. He says, even Satan believes it and trembles. So it's not enough. Praise the Lord. Yeah, mommy.
Praise the Lord, church. I received Holy Ghost by the reflection of a terrible light in my revelation that brought changes in my physical life.
You had an experience.
Yes, sir.
And then after that day, your life changed.
Yes, sir.
That is closer to it. You must start with an experience you had. Then after that experience, your life changed.
Yes, sir.
For you to stop doing any bad thing, something must be responsible for it. That's why I told you, cigar can make a kidney, what do you call it? Chest problem can make you stop cigar. Why do you stop cigarette? Somebody will tell you, praise God. Nah, this cigar won't kill me. Nah, stop. Amen. You see, when the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. If a man be in Christ. So the evidence is to be in Christ. So how are you in Christ? That is why you should struggle to find out. Praise the Lord. And some people think they are in Christ because they are now church workers. It's more than that. So you see, you had an experience, and after that, your life began to change. The things you loved before, suddenly, you know, it stopped. I was hearing the testimony during the weekend. One of our governors, the first lady of that state, a Christian lady, had an experience and she woke up. And then suddenly packed all her jewelries. All her jewelries. She was so angry, she was throwing them away. And then the staff in the government house, they were struggling for it. Security people, the cooks, everybody, they were struggling to pick. You can imagine a governor's wife, the kind of jewelry she will have. She threw them away, said she doesn't want to have that anymore. Remove all the nyamanyama on her hair, remove all the pent, and decided to be natural. When they asked her, why are you doing this? She said, I want to go to heaven. Hallelujah. Now, she decided to be natural. Praise the Lord. Why? There was an experience she received. Okay? This same sister had an experience. She was sharing with me. When she woke up in the morning, after she had that experience in the night, she left Dubai to come to Nigeria to look for God. After she met with God, God met with her. Suddenly, she said all her clothes were trousers. She said she had over 500 of them. And she woke up and packed everything and threw them away. Praise God. It starts with an experience. It starts with an experience. That is where Christianity is missing. Many of us claim to be Christians, but there is no experience backing up your claim. No experience. There is nothing propelling you to take the stand you take. You see? And so, whenever you say you're a Christian, somebody who is not a Christian, when the two of you stand, there is no difference, even physically looking at you. No. And the mystery of salvation is not revealed to all. Why? I preach a message. There are two message titles that I preached. That look very, very controversial. One title is Salvation is Not for All. And the second one, okay, there are three. The second one is Once Saved, Forever You Are Saved. That you cannot be saved today and you lose your salvation. Another one, Then the third one I preached is deceived by God. Hi, these three topics, when the denominational people hear it, it confuses them. But when you listen carefully what I am saying there, you will discover it is true. Because everything I say, I prove it by the scripture. Once you are saved, forever you are saved. And secondly, I say it again, praise the Lord, salvation is not for all. If it is for all, then why is everybody not being saved? And I can prove it. Why? Because the matter of salvation, the interesting thing about salvation is that your salvation was settled from the beginning of the world. Your salvation did not take place the day you were saved. The Bible tells us so, and I can prove it in the scripture, that you were not saved the day you gave your life to Christ. Because there is a book of life. When is that book written? Eh? On the foundation of the world. From the foundation of the world, names of those that will be saved have been written there. That's a deep thing. So when I hear pastors making altar call, and then they say after me, Father, write their name in the book of life, I will say that is evidence that pastor doesn't even know anything about the book of life. And it is only those whose names are in the book of life. They are the reason why Christ went to the cross on Calvary. And some of them may still be armed robbers somewhere now. When the last one comes in, salvation will be over. And God knows them. And He knows how to catch them. But the thing there is, amen. Why will He write some names and not write some names? The answer is in Romans chapter 8. Foreknowledge. Praise the Lord. So God is not gambling for salvation. So He's not going to save you today and then make us save. Please, oh, don't disappoint me. Oh. I'm saving you now. Don't disappoint me. Oh. He knows whether you will disappoint Him or not. Amen. And that is why Ephesians chapter 4 verse 30, He said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed. Until the day you commit sin? No, until the day of redemption. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you are sealed. Salvation is, in fact, He has finished His work of salvation on you. It is finished. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm just hitting here and here for you to just catch the importance. He said, unto what then were you baptized? What type of water baptism did you do? And Apostle Paul explained it to them, and they believed, and they corrected the type of water baptism they did. They did the correct water baptism. And many of us in Christianity, because of the spirit of error that came in during the dark ages and as the church ages went by, people departing from the faith, teaching for doctrines, commandments of men, and spirit of error entered, and they all foretold in the Bible, evil, the revelation of the Godhead was missing, and is still missing. When people will say, there are three persons in one God. No, that has no Bible foundation. God is one, but He appeared to us for the purpose of our salvation in three works of grace, three offices. He appeared as a Father. The same God appeared in His Son. The same God is now dwelling in us as the Holy Ghost to convert us. The same God in three offices, not three persons. One God. And that is why Our denominations, Pentecostals and Evangelicals, they, to sustain that revelation, they now misinterpret Matthew 28 verse 19. Go and baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And they call that a Trinity baptism. No, it's wrong. Nothing like that in the Bible. Every baptism in the New Testament was done in the name of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because that name Jesus is the name of the Father. It's the name of the Son. It's the name of the Holy Ghost. According to the Bible. Praise the Lord. I know some of you don't like your church name to be called anyhow. I don't want to offend you so that you can come next week. So I will not call the name of your church today. Call your name. The name of your pastor self, if I know his name. If he's doing wrong, I will say he's wrong. And you can't do me anything because he is wrong. Until you can prove to me that he is right, I will repent. But he's wrong. Redeem baptizes wrongly. Deeper Life baptizes wrongly. Assemblies of God baptizes wrongly. Choosing baptizes wrongly. All of them, they baptize a call name. Oh. They baptize wrongly. Why? Because they will take inside the water. According to Matthew 28 verse 19, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. They put you inside the water and bring you out. They have not yet baptized you in the name. Father is not the name. Son is not the name. Holy Ghost is not the name. The name of the Father is Jesus. It's in the Bible. The name of the Son is Jesus. It's in the Bible. The name of the Holy Ghost is Jesus. It's in the Bible. Baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost is to take that convert, that believer, inside the water. I baptize you according to Matthew 28 verse 19. In the name of the Lord Jesus, you enter the water, you come out, you have baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Anything apart from that, now swim. You enter water, you swim. You come out of water. Has nothing to do with your salvation. And it's so important because that is the first work of grace for justification. As you enter that water, come out. You are agreeing that it is for your sake Jesus Christ died on the cross on Calvary. So, I die with him, repentance. I am buried with him inside that grave. And on the third day he resurrected, the hope of resurrection. Every sin you have committed till that day is remitted. Then, you stand before God for him to deal with you as his child. To deal with your sin nature. To deal with your stubbornness. To give you the power of conversion. He came to his own Israel. His own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power. To be what? Sons of God. The power to be a son of God is not take it. Demons can do that. The power to become a son of God is the power that can transform a sinner to a saint. That is the power that makes you a son of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord.